the way I've experienced it when it comes to football analytics is very much about how can data be used to win games at the end of the day.
Hello and welcome to the Data Culture Podcast. I'm Carsten Bange, founder and CEO of Bark, and my guest today is Eva Murray. Some of you might know Eva. She has been a long-time evangelist for several software vendors, and now she's self-employed as a data and tech career coach. She recently wrote a book on football analytics, and that's the topic of our podcast episode today. I will ask her about the goal of this analysis. So who is and what is actually being analyzed? Where's the data coming from and who's using it? We also talk about the transfer between sports and football analytics to general businesses. For example, what about the data culture? If we communicate way more with statistics, with data in sports, maybe that also helps in business to be more literate and have another mindset around data and analytics. Enjoy the episode.
Hi, Eva.
Hi, Carsten. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Yeah, very well. Thank you.
It's really great to have you on the podcast, finally. And we know each other for a very long time.
Yes.
But I recently saw that you published a book called Football Analytics. How did that happen, Eva?
It's a bit of a longer story. It goes back to 2017. I was hosting a Makeover Monday live session as part of a Tableau user group in Paris. And one of the people in the audience happened to be my good friend, Mathieu Lacombe, who at the time worked at Paris Saint-Germain. He got me to look at some charts that he was using in an academic paper he was publishing. And I guess that was the very first step. So we became friends. We connected over data visualization. He got my input on his charts. Him very much at the time coming from an academic background, working in the world of sports and data, and me very much coming more from a data visualization background and from, you know, in the world of business, and became friends. We talked, connected at, you know, events throughout over the years. And then at some point we're like, you know, I think there's a book in this. And so we wrote a book and we published it. And that's how that book came about. And it's been really fun because through Mathieu, I got connected to a completely new network of people that isn't usually part of our industry and data and tech conferences, but who have such fascinating perspectives on data and on, you know, athletes and metrics and all of that stuff. So yeah, definitely added a lot for my career and just personal interest as well.
Excellent. So maybe you could give us a bit of an overview what football analytics actually is. So what is being analyzed, maybe first from a higher perspective, before we maybe drill into certain aspects in more detail.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe just as a matter of definition, depending on the audience and who's listening, when we say football, we mean soccer. So European football, just to clear that up, because otherwise we're talking about a very different game. The way I've experienced it when it comes to football analytics and analytics in football environments, so I will call that, you know, clubs, but also media companies, sports data companies, academic environments, sports science environments, is very much about how can data be used to win games at the end of the day. But there are many, many things that happen along the way. You don't just go, oh, here's some metrics, let's, you know, we'll win a game. Just like in business, you don't just immediately have the next breakthrough or win the biggest clients just because you analyzed some data and found something interesting. And in football analytics, it's really, there's multiple things. There's looking at the competition and how can you use data to outsmart them, to understand them, to see where there's opportunities, and often it's, you know, very small margins of improvement, things you can try. There's also, of course, the big area of injury prevention and the whole like physical health side of things, but also mental health, well-being overall. Like, how can data be used to improve that and to give the athlete not just a healthier, longer career with fewer injuries, but also let's be honest, it's a world of business, to look at their value in the market for transfers, etc. And then elements like, well, because there's the individual athlete, but as part of a bigger team, and you know, how do you compete? Like, how does everything connect to the strategy as well? How you compete against different teams, depending on their strategy. There's a lot of video data, for example, being analyzed to see, okay, how do they play? How do we respond? And then, of course, as we're all familiar, like we watch club football and then you also watch your national team compete internationally. Different dynamics again, because players are in different positions and are playing differently, whether they play for their club or for their country. So many variables, so many factors at play and different perspective on things. And what I would also say, and it's an area I haven't focused on myself, is outside of looking at what happens on the pitch, there's the business side of football where we're looking at player engagement, merchandise, ticket sales, like sponsorship, all of that stuff, which is probably much more aligned to traditional business sector that most of us are more familiar with as well.
Yeah, thanks for that overview. I would say today we focus on the non-commercial side because, as you rightly said, I think that is very often very similar to other businesses. And also, yeah, we covered that in this podcast quite a lot.
Yeah.
But I think these very specific parts seem to be super interesting. My first question here would be, where is the data coming from? I mean, I saw like a lot of sensor data. You mentioned a lot of video. Yeah. So obviously image analysis plays an important role. Maybe you could give us an overview there.
Yes, absolutely. So, so there's tracking data, GPS tracking data, but also other metrics being tracked. So most of us have seen it by now, players. And when I say players, I am most familiar with what happens in men's football. Women's football, there's no reason they wouldn't measure the same things, but also additional metrics. But that's, I had no exposure there. I don't know how much is being done there. But you see the players wearing what looks like a sports bra. So it's like a crop top that contains sensors to do, you know, GPS tracking, but also, you know, you can track heart rate, etc. So there's a bunch of different things being captured that way. They can be done quite accurately. But when you think about GPS tracking, if you're playing outside on an open pitch, that's probably a lot easier than in a stadium where you've got structures that impact the signal quality. Not my area of expertise, but I just wanted to put it out there that it's not as straightforward of as, you know, tracking a car that's driving on the autobahn, for example. So you've got tracking of the players on the pitch, but also of, you know, metrics pertaining to their like health and physiology. Then there's the video data. So cameras filming from so many angles in the stadium or, you know, in the playing area and capturing data that is then being analyzed automatically, but also manually. And this might be the bit that surprises some people. There are people who actually code this data manually, where events that happen during a game, and events is basically, think of it as anything to do with the ball. So a pass, a free kick, any kind of, yeah, kind of standard situations, but also interactions between players, fouls, all of those things. All of those stuff that happens is coded manually by people. Like there's hundreds, thousands of these interactions during a game, and that is all captured. But those things are done manually and they are done live and they are quality checked on the fly as well. So that data, you know, of course, can be reviewed later on to make corrections. But there is actually, you know, people with keyboards like coding this thing as they happen. So that's the other element. And that is something probably most people never really think about. But to capture the completeness of what goes on in a game, you need those different elements. So that's typically what we play of tracking data and events data.
Mm-hmm. So we get information on the players. And I mean, sometimes that's also published in when you watch a game, a match on TV. Yeah, you see, for example, like how far did they run? What are the distances they covered and so on? How often did they touch a ball? So that focuses on the player. You also mentioned health as an important topic. I would assume there's additional data being generated, and how is that done?
Yeah, so with heart rate sensors and or heart rate monitors, but also sensors that are being put in shoes, for example, that's how you can capture data about the body, right? What's going on? What's the heart rate variability? What's the heart rate at rest or maybe at a slower pace when they're walking and when they're stopping, waiting for game to resume? Versus when they're running and there's an all-out sprint. And it's important to have that data because while an experienced coach will be able to observe a lot of things from the sideline, they can't see inside the body. And even with many, many years of experience, can they see there's an injury about to happen or there might be, some fatigue creeping in that they didn't anticipate? That's where that data can come in really handy. At the same time, I would say, and maybe, I'm jumping ahead of it here, but there's only so much you can consume and make sense of and act on as you are seeing this thing unfold on the pitch, right? So there is a lot of data being captured. I imagine that most of that is also really for looking at afterwards and devising strategies and, who needs more rest and how long and all of that kind of stuff.
Are there also prediction models? Yeah, that you have all the data? Is there an injury prediction score or something like that?
Yeah, definitely. And this is where things go, outside of my expertise. But injury prevention, massive topic, because it's about can the player play next time, right, in the next game? Are they ready for the rest of the season? Are they good to go? What are some indicators of there's an injury that could happen based on the load during a game, the load during training, the amount of recovery time they have? Sometimes you hear fans, commentators talk about the schedule and teams having a lot of games, two, maybe three really big games in a week. But then there's also these international games creeping in during a normal season. So there's a lot of load on the players because, it's a business overall and they are the product and people want to see them on the pitch and they want to see exciting games. But what does it do to their bodies? And aside from the health, there's always the consideration, if we need to, if we want to sell this player or if we want to, buy a certain player, what are we getting here? Are we getting somebody who's about to be injured and out for 12 months and we can't actually use them for anything? And it sounds harsh, but that's the reality of, how clubs need to think and how managers and the whole staff around them need to think when it comes to that. So injury prevention, definitely a big focus. And that's where having the data people, and when I say data people, I would say more traditional data analysts, data scientists work closely together with sports scientists and physios, the whole team that brings together the knowledge that is required to make all of this happen is really important.
Yeah, that leads me to another topic. So who's using that data and who's doing the analysis? I mean, in companies, we have data and analytics specialists, sometimes even departments. And we have a wide range of people using the data. It sounded now very similar. You mentioned coaches, medical team, and so on and so on. How is it organized and who's using this data in a football club, for example?
Yeah. So from my experience and the conversations I've had, I think most people in business would be surprised how comparatively small the data teams on the sporting side are. And they're typically separate from those on the commercial side. And, it might be that the top clubs, for example, in the Premier League have a comparable team to what, an organization would have, not necessarily a bank, but a comparable organization in terms of the size. So there would be a handful of data analysts, there would be data scientists, data engineer. But what most of us deal with in business, clubs can only dream of, because what budgets are allocated where, that's like there's budgets allocated for certain things on the commercial side. And then on the sporting side, got player salaries, you've got all sorts of things to pay. But I will say, the people in those teams, they are very similar to the practitioners we've all worked with or been ourselves. I was a data analyst in the past, and the people I've talked to on the sporting side or, in football, they do very similar work. The data just has different content, but it is very similar. So you've got data engineers, you've got data scientists, you've got data analysts. And I would say, just as in business, there's on the one hand, there's a need for understanding football, maybe even having some expertise because it helps with stakeholder conversations. On the other hand, you might have situations where somebody says, actually, you don't need to know anything about football. I want you to really focus on the data and what it tells us and not have your judgment or your insights clouded by your opinions on a player or your opinions on a league or a competition. So the roles are very similar. And also the data challenges are very similar. You've got internal and external data sources. So internal would be, for example, training data that's generated because there is no training, you know, so you've got the tracking metrics of the gadgets you utilize, similar to our own biometric data that we can track when we go for a run, for example, and we've got a smartwatch. So if you think of that, you know, very similar, they have their own data that they own as the club. And then there's the external data that's generated during an official match that they purchase from data providers. And those need to be brought together and needs to be matched up if they want to look at a player level, for example, to see what is this player doing, you know, in training, like how do we correlate all of these things? So external sources, internal sources, APIs, cloud-based solutions, Excel files, things on a shared drive, like all of this exists just the same as it does in business. It exists in the football world as well. So I would say on that level, it looks very similar. For us on the outside, I think it just seems a lot more exciting because we see these people on TV, we see outstanding athletes doing stuff, and that's the data these people get to work with.
And you mentioned that the teams might be a bit smaller than in other businesses.
Yes, and I think we see the teams growing, or if they're staying the same kind of size, like definitely it's maturing. But yeah, I think when they talk to people in, you know, in the business world and traditional industries, they probably get a little hint of jealousy of what they get to do with data or what resources are available and what kind of headcounts can be hired.
Yeah. I just wonder, I mean, obviously we all saw Moneyball. What's behind it is basically this one season that transformed a baseball where, like, we would call it fact-based decision-making. led to the win of the, they call it World Series. And what I read is that from that moment on, this really transformed baseball. And this, let's say, use of data and fact-based decision-making was adopted by more or less every club. I'm not aware of such a moment in football. Is there one, or what would you say is the acceptance actually of data and analytics? Because I'm not so sure. It's that big.
It's a really good question. And I would say that US sports is definitely ahead of the game. When you watch it as a spectator or fan, there are constantly statistics, you know, on the bottom, like how many yards they've passed and ran. Like there's so much going on and the commentators constantly bombard you with data and facts. Whereas when you watch football, there's a lot of commentary and there will be obscure little things brought up. But really, mostly there's a clock. And there's a score. There's not really much else that's constantly being, you know, sent to you. But I can't really think of a moment like that in football. It might exist. There might be other people who could comment on that. But I can't really think of one. I would say there's definitely openness to data, much more acceptance. We see that with in places where clubs can be owned by private people. For example, with clubs being owned by American owners, there might be much more openness and interest in using data because they've seen it work so well in American sports. I'd also say with a bigger budget, there's more investment in that kind of stuff. As well as, and this is my personal observation, I think as we see new generations of managers coming through and older generations retiring, we will probably also see more of a embracing of data and technology to look at some of these things. Because I do want to acknowledge, you know, managers at the top level, they have to be incredibly good. Otherwise, they wouldn't be where they are. At some point, though, if you are competing against other really good managers who also use data, you can't really afford not to use data because they will have an edge because they can analyze things you can't see with the naked eye. You can't draw out in a conversation. And just in the interest of time, you cannot assimilate all of that information just through observations and conversations. one quick example maybe to throw in there. If you look at scouting and somebody going out to view players and to make, you know, shortlists and recommendations of who to buy, well, you can have a really long list that you pull together and then you send the scout all around the world to look at all of these players. Or you can use data to make a shortlist that says, actually, if we look at the team and the fit that would be perfect for our team, there's only 10 players that really are worth looking at, which saves you a ton of time, a ton of money, travel budget, all of that, and hopefully leads you to a better decision than looking at, you know, 50, 60, 70 different players in all, you know, all around the world. So it's using data to just enhance that, to speed things up and to improve decision making, I think, especially in the area of health as well.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You mentioned all the statistics and American sports of being very data rich in a way, also in the commentary and in what you can see. My American colleagues sometimes write about that this also has a positive influence on data culture overall. Yeah. So people are used to, in their spare time, in a way, in their time when they enjoy watching sports, that they are actually faced with a lot of data and analysis, and that might transfer also to organizations. What's your take on that? Is that true? Yeah. Can we, if we use more data in sports, can we hope that people in companies also use more data?
Yes and no. I think yes, definitely, to just being exposed to all of this data, but it also means people have to watch sports to then get that exposure, or watch other things that use data. And I will say, so my partner, he's American, he grew up in the States, and his dad was coaching, you know, baseball for, like, at the kids level. And my partner, as a child, was there keeping score. So, like, he just got into statistics and counting and math as a kid because of sports. And one of his kids now really into, like, watching sports and loves all the statistics. So I think there's no statistic that he doesn't know. He just also memorizes everything. Because I've asked him, like, how do you remember all of this stuff? But this exposure to it, and then supported by the availability of it online, and being like, oh, that's really, and of course, it has to interest you as well. You know, I can't necessarily retain all of these statistics because it's not something I tend to spend a lot of brain capacity on. You know, I can look it up when I need to. But for people to see, oh, actually, over time, and then the commentary helps as well to put it into context, say, oh, this player, you know, last season, this is what he did. Look how much he's changed. Look how much he's improved. You know, we watch American sports, watch football. And when you look at American football, when you look at the college level and then you see players being drafted into the NFL and how they change by being in this professional context rather than the college football context. And these are phenomenal athletes. But while I find it absolutely overwhelming, and as somebody who hasn't grown up with it, you know, a lot of it is to me still a mystery, just the constant talking about these numbers and statistics and all that. And I've definitely noticed it in conversations as well. People will bring this stuff up. I don't tend to hear people talk about football as in, oh, did you see, you know, this guy ran like 10K in the last game, the other guy only ran 8K. Nobody talks about it. Like, that doesn't, you know, people might say, did you watch that goal? Right? It's more about the skill. It is a very different sport, but it's more about the skill, or maybe a foul or a decision by a referee. It's not necessarily about performance outputs, measurable things.
Yeah. Now, you've been, like, in both worlds. What do you think from the sports side in general, can we transfer to the business side? Maybe there are some best practices, some certain ways how things are done that you found very interesting and thought, hey, this could be also interesting in a let's say, normal business context.
Yes. There's one thing I really love and have a lot of respect for, and that is the very the scientific approach to it. There are a lot of people with a high level of academic background in, you know, in sports. So it was master's degrees, or PhD, and they bring a certain scientific rigor to their approach. They bring methodologies, but also really questioning, getting to the bottom of it, not taking things at face value, but saying, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do it properly. So I think while it can, and I have seen the other side as well, you know, it can slow things down, which in the business world sometimes isn't very desirable at all. But introducing a more scientific approach, especially in a field like data, where all of us should be interested in saying, okay, does that look about right? And, you know, is it a correlation? Is there any causation that can be implied? Like, I think we're, because a lot of people in business come to data, much like me, from a non-scientific background, we would benefit from learning some of those approaches and applying them because it just means things are more reliable. They can be trusted. And I think it gives us a new way of talking about things as well. If we can refer to a methodology we've used rather than saying, I just kind of made it up. I mean, of course, we're not going to say we just made it up. But when we look at a problem, we might say, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're winging it. Well, what if we had a more scientific methodology and say, okay, mm-hmm. my first step is I'm going to do this. My second step is I'm going to do that. Like, and if all of these don't work, then I'm going to try this other thing. And I can actually, when somebody asks me, I can take them through this process and I can say, this is what I did. And they can maybe give me a point and say, oh, you haven't tried this bit yet. Maybe that will help. So I think that kind of mindset I've always admired in sport. What I will say, where I've seen a challenge with it, it's not the mindset itself, but is in actually communicating the outcomes. Because if you communicate like a PhD thesis, most people won't understand it. So that's where it, the other way, learning from the world of business, saying things in plain English, in plain German, just in simple language that everyone can understand, and putting things into a format, for example, data visualizations, that is accessible to a lot of people. For example, one chart type academics love are box and whisker plots. A lot of other people love it as well. Most people don't understand exactly what it means. And what I mean by that is, if you say, what does this little line mean? They'd be like, oh, I don't quite know, actually, but it looks good. That's not what we should use. That's not an argument for using a box and whisker plot, right? So how can the world of sports benefit or learn from the world of business? And I think the way data and information insights are communicated in a lot of businesses is good, can be learned from, can always still be improved. But I think that's where there's a lot of opportunity. And I'm thinking of examples like the Financial Times, the team that did the during COVID, during the first lockdowns, and just explaining things to everyone out there in simple charts with annotations, with scientific rigor behind it, but in a way that people will understand. That's what I'm thinking of that could be introduced into the world of sports as well, more.
Yeah, I like it how you put it. Yeah? I think we can benefit both from each other. And you were saying there should be a bit more scientific approach to data science in a way, or to data analytics in general. And on the other hand, might be useful to have like people from a general business background going into the sports business to bring in best practices like data visualization, data storytelling, thinking about your audience instead of just thinking what you could do with the data or what you understand with it. Let's end this conversation, Eva, which was really lovely. Thank you. With maybe an anecdote or something where you were most surprised or where you found a really interesting analysis or data in sports or in football that where you thought, hey, I wouldn't have believed that, or this is really interesting what's being done here.
Oh, it's a really good question. One example that comes to mind that actually I worked on with a colleague when we had access to some real football data from matches was to look at the space that players create during a game. So you will sometimes hear commentators talk about it that, oh, you know, such and such player, they've created a lot of space so that maybe they can pass the ball, they have more options for passing the ball and that kind of stuff. So what we did was a visualization where you have all the players on the field, including the ball. So they're all basically just a circle and the ball is a different colored circle. And you create a Voronoi chart. So you have these little shapes around each player that just show how much space they have before they encroach on the next person's space. So what's the divider line in between? And what was just really interesting to look at is the dynamics of, you know, a pass and then maybe a pass being intercepted and how immediately the dynamics change as the other team prepares to do a counterattack. And what players do or where they move on the field to create space for themselves to then be able to pass the ball directly, or to have maybe instead of just one, having two or three other players that they can pass the ball to. And I found that so fascinating, because without the context of who is this player, what's their position, like there's literally just a field with the, you know, all the lines drawn, dots on it that move on the screen, and these Voronoi chart that just keeps moving as people create space. And I thought that was just a really neat way to think about it and then visualize something happening. And we shared it on social media, you know, back in the days when Twitter was Twitter, and it got a lot of engagement, because I think people see something, they're like, I get it. You know, I understand it. I see what's going on. So that's probably the most memorable, you know, hands-on playing with the data and seeing something going on that I can remember from my years of doing this.
And could you derive some insights there? So are then players starting to change their behavior based on analysis like that?
It's a great question. And I think this is the difficult bit, right? You can show the players the analysis. To actually achieve that change in behavior and maybe a change in playing style, I think that takes time. And it also, because there's always so many moving parts, that takes more work. Because, and I've asked this question actually to people who work in data teams in clubs. I said, how much of what you do, or which parts of what you do, actually makes it onto the, you know, the tactics board in the change room when the manager discusses what's the next move here? Because that's typically the stuff that happens in the movies, but that might not actually happen in real life. It's really more around like longer term approaches. And I think where it does make a difference is saying, hey, you know, we've noticed that maybe when you run up this side of the field, like, maybe there's an imbalance in somebody's stride and they're favoring one foot, like you're at risk of injury. Like, let's actually, and it doesn't just involve the data analyst and the player. It could then involve the physio as well, or the strength and conditioning coach, to see, okay, what exercises can we incorporate to make sure your stride is more balanced? You know, we can reduce the risk of injury, those kind of things. So I think from the conversations I've had, players are definitely open to taking on board all of this information. It needs to be seen in the bigger context, in the complexity of all the dynamics, other players, managers, upcoming matches. Like, there's so much going on that I think it's not realistic to say this one recommendation will lead to a behavior change, but it will be part of the bigger picture.
All right, Eva, thanks so much for sharing your insights, your experience here in football analytics. I'm sure something that many people can relate to. That's the nice thing about football. And
thank you for having me.
So wish you all the best. I'm sure we see each other pretty soon again. And until then, I just say bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.